Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And on today's show, we have Joey Katzen. He's a managing director of Hawaii Angels, and he's here to talk about Hawaii Angels and the investor ecosystem here in Hawaii. And Joey, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, I've been wanting to have somebody on the show talking about Hawaii Angels. You know, just by the name, you know, I kind of get the feeling like most of the people that are involved with Hawaii Angels kind of live in a rarefied, you know, air. So it's people that I don't
know about that.
It's people that I don't typically, you know, interact with. But hey, I wanted to you know, give you a chance to share a little bit about how you kind of got involved with Hawaii Angels, because I think Rob Robertson was the founder. You know, he's been there for, I don't know, like many, many years. And then Chanoa Farnsworth is also part of Hawaii Angels. But now you're involved. And so kind of give us a little bit of history. Like, how did you kind of get roped into this?
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you a little bit who we are first.
Sure.
And I'll talk about how I got roped in. So the Hawaii Angels is a almost 25-year-old organization, and mm-hmm. we're comprised of members of the community who come together to invest in startup companies,
mm-hmm.
Mostly tech companies, but not always, sometimes product businesses or other kinds of companies. We meet monthly at the Pacific Club to hear pitches from startups, sort of Shark Tank style, if you've seen Shark Tank. And then, you know, our individual investors or our individual venture capital firms or family offices can make decisions on what to invest in.
Wow, great. Okay, so this has been going on every month, you say? You guys have a lunch and you guys kind of organize some pitch sessions?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, right? So we meet at the Pacific Club and we meet monthly, and we have two big pitches a month,
mm-hmm.
And then sometimes a handful of little side pitches if any of our members bring them in. And we try, our goal is to have one you know, local company or sort of Hawaii-affiliated
mm-hmm,
company, someone
mm-hmm.
who, you know, went to school here and then went off to the mainland for college and started a company and wants to come back and raise money. So either a company that's based here or is connected to Hawaii every meeting, and then usually the other company flies in from the mainland or from Australia or something, and we'll raise money. And they tend to be pretty early stage.
Mm-hmm.
In our industry, we call these different rounds of fundraising. We call them like pre-seed and seed and Series A, and you
mm-hmm.
may have heard of those.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to specialize on the earlier rounds. So sometimes the Hawaii Angels members end up providing the first check of outside kind of arm's length money that startup founders have ever seen. So they may have raised a little bit of money from their friends and their family
mm-hmm.
Who just loved them and would invest in anything they touched. And then they get in front of us, and it's their first opportunity to really have to convince outsiders who could put our, you know, our money in different places for us to say, no, you're the one that we want to bet on. We want to bet on you because we're really impressed by you as a founder and this idea you have.
Right, right. And what qualifies somebody to be a member, and then what qualifies you to be a managing director?
Well, talk about the members first. So there's federal rules on investing in startup companies.
Mm-hmm,
and it comes
mm-hmm.
out of the idea, you know, it's by the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And basically they want to make sure that they protect people who don't have money to lose from investing in things that could be riskier, right? So if you are a standard investor, you without you know, an ability to sort of protect yourself in the case that something goes badly, you know, the government wants you to make sure that you invest in registered securities. This is like when you buy Microsoft on, you know, on the public exchange, or
mm-hmm.
you buy a mutual fund or something.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who've been a little more successful in their life and they have over a certain amount of money, or they make over a certain amount of money every year, the SEC grants them this privilege called being an accredited investor.
Oh.
Now, should that be the law? I don't know, but that is the law. And so anyone who qualifies as an accredited investor, which means they make, again, a certain salary every year or they have a certain amount of assets, qualifies to invest in a startup. And if they meet that requirement, then they're able to be a member of the Hawaii Angels. And, you know, we Right now, we've been growing a lot in the last couple of years. We're up to about 60 members now, including some venture capital firms. And people find us through our network. They reach out. Sometimes people just have been involved in similar groups elsewhere, and they move here, or they move back here if they're from here, and they find us on the internet, and they reach out, and I'll grab coffee with them and talk story and say, this is something you'd like to come to. And there's some dues, but we're a nonprofit. We don't invest as an organization. We're really just a club of individual investors whose dues mostly just go to pay for our venue and our lunches every month. Now, I've been involved for about 8 years. I was previously a founder myself, so I founded or co-founded three different startups. And my first startup was in the health industry, in the hospital industry. It was a compliance product, and we were doing background checks and screening and compliance for medical vendors. And I was just right out of college. I was in the first year of law school when I founded it with some friends of mine. But by the time we sold it, we were in half the hospitals in the country. And so it was really exciting, and it sort of set me up to be able to do more startups and to get into investing. And I ended up co-founding two other startups that didn't do as well as the first one. One did okay, and one crashed and burned after we raised $3 million. But 2 out of 3 isn't bad. And after the failure of the third one, I also was going through some personal life. I was going through a breakup and stuff, and I just sort of took some time off from the industry. And after a year, I decided, it's time to move on and do the next thing. And I don't know that I want to do another startup, but I wonder what else I could do. And so that's how I got introduced to Shenoa Farnsworth, who runs Blue Startups and at the time ran Hawaii Angels. And for your listeners that don't know what Blue Startups is, because it's sort of an informal sister organization of ours, it's what's known as Blue Startups is what's known as a startup accelerator. So it's actually partially funded by the Tetris Fortune, because Tetris is headquartered downtown Honolulu. It's really cool. In our
Hank
office,
Rogers,
we have
the
Hank Rogers, that's right, and his daughter Maya run it in their offices, which we share. They have the green screen computer with Cyrillic letters on the keyboard that Tetris was originally programmed on. But they founded a number of other organizations. One is the Blue Planet Foundation, and they also funded Blue Startups. And at Blue Startups, and I'm just a volunteer mentor there, so Shenoa and Maya run it. But they have a couple hundred companies a year apply to be part of Blue Startups, some from Hawaii, some from the mainland or the rest of the world. And Blue Startups gives up to $250,000 in funding and a bunch of mentorship and coaching on how to make very early startup ideas into real investable startups. And so I met Shenoa and met her down at the Blue Startups offices, and she introduced me to Hawaii Angels, which I didn't know anything about angel investing at the time. And I started just going to meetings and meeting other investors who were also really interesting and impressive. Like some of the investors come from real estate, or they're doctors or they're lawyers or finance. But a lot of our investors, our members, are people that previously worked at Apple or Microsoft. Or we have a couple members that were at 23andMe, and we have a member now that was one of the co-founders of Naked Juice and then went on to be COO of Adwala. So it's surrounded by a lot of really cool people that come from different parts of industry. But I got connected in, and I wrote a handful of checks, and some have done really well, and some have not done well at all. But after a number of years, they invited me to be on the board. And then a couple of years ago, kind of after COVID, we started having discussions as to whether Shenoa wanted to, spend some of her time outside of Blue Startups doing something else. And so they passed the reins onto me after twisting my arm for a couple of years. And about a year and a half ago, I took over Hawaii Angels running it. And it's a labor of love. It's a mostly volunteer kind of gig. And we've, before COVID, the organization was struggling a little bit. We were down, just for the nature of deal flow and the changes in Hawaii, we were down to about 10 members. But after COVID, Shenoa worked really hard to build it back up. And then when I took over a year and a half ago, I've been doing a lot of outreach to try to bring in a more diverse crowd, make sure we have more women involved, more younger people, more industry people. And we've grown up to about 60 members, and it's exciting. And it coincides with a lot of the momentum that we've seen in the whole startup ecosystem in Hawaii since since COVID,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is really impressive.
Well, you know, I do want to talk a little bit about the ecosystem because, you know, you guys are all, as a monthly kind of meetup, you have companies coming through presenting to Hawaii Angels, and then you have Blue Startups doing the accelerator thing. So I kind of want, you know, maybe have you talk a little bit about the relationship and, you know, does one sort of hand off its, you know, companies to the other, or what's the relationship there? Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Joey Katzen, Managing Director of Hawaii Angels. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Joey Katzen. He's a managing director of Hawaii Angels. And he's here talking about what Hawaii Angels does. And we're going to get into the investor ecosystem here in Hawaii. But, you know, before I forget, I did want to ask you, Joey, you know, you talked about these kind of like accredited investors, and they have to apply to be, you know, acknowledged by somebody. And who's that? Who is that? Is that a federal agency? Is that a you know, like a financial agency? Who actually qualifies somebody to be an accredited investor?
So the truth is there's actually no formal qualification in most cases. So there are different SEC rules.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different exemptions, but the exemption that most startups use really just requires a self-attestation. So as crazy as that sounds, you just basically have to sign your name on something and check a box that says that you are aware of the risks of what you're investing in and that you do qualify as an accredited investor, that you make a certain amount of money. There are some investments in certain industries, like I know that in real estate, they use a different exemption, and that sometimes requires an accountant or a lawyer
mm-hmm.
to sign off on it. But it's not centralized in any way.
And so you, somebody who is interested in becoming, let's say, a member of Hawaii Angels, you probably just simply give them a Hawaii Angels form that is self-attestation of them being, you know, ready to take on whatever risks that they want to in terms of investing?
I mean, formally, that's how it is. But, you know, normally before people could become members, we talk story for an hour, we grab coffee, or we do a Zoom. We talk about what the likelihood of success versus failure is and how you want to make sure you invest in a number of these companies. Because with startups, if you invest in a basket of 10, you're hoping one of them or maybe two of them gives you a really big return, like 20 or 30 or 40X. And then one or two of them, you sort of maybe get your money back out of. And then five or six or seven of them, you could go to zero on.
Right, so right.
We're very clear with our members about how this works, which, and there's a point to that too, is that people invest in startups for different reasons. Some people do it because they really want a return. Some people invest because they want to coach startups and they want to stay connected, and if they make a return, that's great. And there's other people that invest almost philanthropically because they, you know, maybe they'd like a return, but they primarily want to support ideas or founders or, you know, particular groups of people they think are deserving of support. And so we have members in different ways. Like some people are climate investors and they may or may not get a return from that, but they really want to fund climate startups,
mm-hmm,
for instance.
Mm-hmm. Now, that kind of helps lead into the next topic of discussion. You have built up Hawaii Angels. You said you got 60 members. You've got a pretty regular monthly sort of pitch luncheon that you have, I would assume, a pretty decent lineup of companies, you know, presenting. So you have the Hawaii Angels process, and then you have Blue Startups, which, you know, Shanoa has been a long time involved in. I know her from that. In fact, I'm going to have Shanoa on next week. But what is the relationship between, let's say, companies that might go the accelerator route and also are looking for investors, and the companies that are being in front of the members for doing their pitches to Hawaii Angels? What's the relationship there, and is there some point of intersection?
Yes. So the answer is yes. There's no formal relationship. Mm-hmm. But this is, as everything else is in Hawaii, everyone knows each other, right? So everyone is always talking and grabbing coffees or beers, and we're connecting. And we all, a lot of us, you know, volunteer with each other's organizations. So we all kind of are working together to support the ecosystem. And a lot of Hawaii Angels members, you know, we have a lot of us have a goal to encourage more startup creation in Hawaii from high school, from college on. So we're all, even though we're at different parts of the process, we all have a lot of us have very similar goals. I would say that from my perspective, it's a little bit of a funnel. If you think of it like a sales funnel. And I'll say that the start of the funnel as it kind of exists in 2025, I think is actually even before Blue Startups. There's an organization that goes back a couple of years called Thrive High. That's run by Johnny Trincomaney and Sonia Romero and Trung Lam. And they are working really hard on finding digital nomads, people who work for, you know, Google or for Facebook or Adobe in Hawaii, or people who are graphic designers who live in Hawaii, who grew up here, or who are software developers or whatever, and bringing them together socially, sort of for startup karaoke nights where people can pitch their ideas or just meet co-founders to try to, you know, grab people early on to say, you are capable of developing a startup and you can meet your co-founders and your technical people here and can actually kind of build these ideas. And I feel like that's stage one. And it's a lot of what Hawaii was missing over the last 20 years was Thrive High.
That's interesting that you bring that up because, I'm familiar with Thrive High. I've actually had them on the radio. There's been a number of meetups, get-togethers that Thrive High has been organizing.
I really respect those guys. And we actually just started sponsoring one of their events, the Startup Karaoke, which I believe is quarterly, where people can come together and pitch. And I think we might start having some of our members kind of go as a community event to that to actually give some investor feedback.
And your observation is that Thrive High has been a little bit more focused on the objective, which you just described, trying to help nurture some of those early stage entrepreneurs into the pathway of perhaps, startup formation.
And I think, for the people that have moved here from the mainland, a lot of stuff from the Bay Area, they know they can make startups. But one of the things I think a lot of us have noticed of people who are homegrown in Hawaii is that to start a company, it's risky and it takes a lot of gumption. And when people look around in high school and college and look at the role models in their life who are successful, oftentimes their parents or their friends' parents are, successful in real estate or in banking or something, but they can't really look around and point and say, that guy started this tech startup and scaled it really big and did some great things in the world and made a lot of money and found a lot of success. And without those role models, sometimes it's hard to kickstart the stuff at the beginning. And so Thrive High is working really hard to try to grab some of those people at the beginning and let them know you can do this and you should do it if it's interesting, if you want to. So at the very top of the funnel is Thrive High.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way I kind of see it is that the best ideas and founders and companies that come out of Thrive High then do an accelerator program, which we talked about, like Blue Startups. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of accelerators on the island, and on the mainland, there's Techstars in the mainland, and the most famous one is Y Combinator in the Bay Area. But here we have Blue Startups, and Blue Startups, again, has several hundred companies a year to apply, picks, 8 to 10, plus sometimes a few observer track, pre-seed companies that aren't quite as far along, and does a lot of coaching and mentorship, and basically helps these startups via introductions to people and via coaching to get them investor ready.
Okay.
So they can, by the end of the program, go and raise money. So then the best graduates of Blue Startups then get introduced to us at Hawaii Angels. And because, we're all kind of affiliated with each other, we all help each other out. A number of our members have already seen some of these companies Blue Startups or Thrive High. And so they've been sort of nurtured all the way up. But the best ones that graduate Blue every year come and pitch at Hawaii Angels. And we've had, there have been some successes over the years. One of the first really big success was a company called, before my time actually, called Volta. And they went through Blue Startups. And it was this nationwide network of electric vehicle charging stations at shopping malls and Whole Foods and whatnot nationwide, and they eventually went public via something called a SPAC. But they basically went public for $1 billion, and they were later acquired by Shell. And now they're all over the country. They have some at Ala Moana Center, but they raised money from Hawaii Angels. And you know, about a year ago, we had a company, a local founder named Ram, who started a company called Intent, with two T's in the middle, I-N-T-T-E-N-T. And mm-hmm. he went through Blue Startups, and he came to Hawaii Angels. And one of our VC members, Mark Munoz, from Vector FinTech at the time. Now it's called OmVC, because we mm-hmm. have a handful of venture capital firms actually with offices on the island. OmVC or Vector FinTech really liked Ram's company Intent and sucked it into their normal process. And I think he ended up raising that around somewhere around 750 or a million from
wow.
VC and from investors. And it's really exciting if you think about the stages of how this ecosystem is growing. You know, historically, it was very few startups here. And, you know, Hawaii is never going to be the Bay Area or LA. But I think there's room here for a place like Hawaii where people might move here if they're from the mainland, or they might move back here, or they might stay here, to some extent for lifestyle, that they want to go surfing and they want to talk story and they want to not have that arrogance that sometimes floats around other ecosystems. But so they want to have a little bit of lifestyle, but they still want to do some cool stuff.
Well, so Joey, I do want you to finish that thought and get a little bit into the, you know, the challenges perhaps that some companies might find, you know, once they graduate from, let's say, an accelerator and then go to Hawaii Angels, and then what might take place after that. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Joey Katzen, Managing Director of Hawaii Angels. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Joey Katzen. He's the Managing Director of Hawaii Angels, and we're talking about the investor ecosystem here in Hawaii. And right before the break, Joey, you were talking about some of the, you know, the sort of the funnel. And you have talked about Thrive High, talked about Blue Startups and other accelerators that kind of get the companies introduced, mentored, and have an initial sort of investment by the accelerator. And then they get kind of prepped up to get in front of Hawaii Angels. And I think you said earlier that, you know, Hawaii Angels might be kind of pre-seed or seed, which is still kind of an early stage. And you were kind of describing some of the companies that kind of made it and have gone to, you know, other stages of investment, like, you know, Series A, Series B. How, those are just a few, right? So what are some of the challenges, I guess, as you see all this deal flow, and you are correct. I mean, there's a lot more activity now than there was probably, you know, 20 years ago. But what are some of the challenges to get companies through the investment process and then actually become successful like a Volta?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so Volta is a special one because they got very, very, very big. They were, you know, what we call in the startup world, a unicorn. They mm-hmm. got up to $1 billion valuation. That's not what most companies that mm-hmm. we see are shooting for, but it doesn't mean that the companies that we see aren't shooting for $100 million or $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the biggest challenge that these found that I would say from you want from the founder perspective, so for the entrepreneurs that are starting these companies,
right,
what their
right.
biggest struggle is.
Right.
I think it's especially first time founders just don't know what the specific fundamentals are that investors are looking at. So people often come together, very smart people with a wide variety of skills come together and they say, you know what, I think we should solve this problem that I see out in the market. And we're going to solve it in this way. We're going to build this software platform or this app that does this, and we're going to go try to get people on it this way, and then, you know, we're going to take over the world. And what, in general, most founders I meet at the beginning, most early founders are very focused on the product
mm-hmm.
and like what they're building and the problem that they're solving. And the irony of that is that when it comes to raising money, and also when it comes to the success of your company, which is very similar to the raising money early on, is that the product itself is like 10% of it, maybe 20% if we're lucky. It's not really about the product. It's about how do you execute and how do you get distribution? How do you get to market? So you could have developed the greatest idea for an app that you've thought of, but trying to get 10 people on it or 100 people or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people in that app is very hard because you can't usually just rely on advertisements because they're too expensive. Like Google Ads and Facebook Ads are too expensive until you've really gotten scale. So what I find is that a lot of founders, this is one example, is we call that go-to-market or distribution. What I find is that investors sometimes, not investors, like founders, especially the ones that haven't gone through an accelerator program, don't realize what the like sort of 10 checkboxes are that investors tend to look at, because investors are looking at the 10 checkboxes that give the best chances for company success. And companies don't come prepared, not just with that information, but sometimes they haven't even really thought about it very much. They're like, oh, I'm just going to build this app and put it in the App Store without thinking, how am I actually going to get this in the hands of people and convince them to give me a buck, you know?
Right. Now, in terms of, in fact, gosh, we could probably spend another half hour talking about this, but from a funding standpoint, what you're seeing, though, is that if an investor sees that the founders have figured out how to scale, then what you're kind of implying is that, you know, the sort of the seed and then going Series A, Series B will naturally follow. Is that correct?
I would say it naturally follows because it's very hard work at every stage. But I, in my estimation, and people might have different answers on this, I think getting your first $500,000 of outside money, like pre-seed-ish, is the hardest and most daunting part of it. Because if you take that money and you execute and you get some sales, you get some customers, and you keep talking about stuff with other your product and your company with investors, and you keep getting customers, it should happen somewhat naturally. It's still a lot of work, and the challenges change. But I think it's that first money that's the biggest filter.
Right. So, no, this is exciting stuff, and I think I'm really happy to have got you on the show talking a little bit about what the process is, and actually, if there are, you know, potential investors out there, they should, you know, check it out. Maybe go find out, you know, how they might become members of Hawaii Angels. So, Joey, where can people find out more information about, you know, joining Hawaii Angels?
Well, they should certainly check us out. We're hawaiiangels.org, and they can email us or just apply directly.
Very good, Joey. Hey, he's the managing director of Hawaii Angels. And Joey, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Bert. It was fun.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the upcoming East Meets West Conference. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is Crystal Spear. You can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.